lives. But even more than that, I want to leave us focused on what a life of trust looks like, on what it might actually look like to lead a life that is imperfect and weak and frail and still has sin, and yet could truly be characterized as one that is lived in trust in Jesus Christ, one that actually wants to follow after him and become like him, one that is humble and patient and kind and loving. The most complete picture of that, of course, is always found in the life of Jesus, but I went back and looked, and it took us over 50 weeks to work through Mark. And so we're not going to do that tonight. But there is a place where, unexpectedly, such trust, the picture of a godly life, is distilled rather beautifully. Psalms 3 and 4 are written by King David when he fled from his son Absalom. Absalom was trying to take over his throne, right? To kick his dad off and set himself up as king. He was ready to kill his father in order to get what he wanted. So David was on the run. It's a time of great turmoil in David's life. Yet these psalms exude confidence and trust in the Lord. Even as David and his men are hiding out in caves and hiding in the wilderness, trying to stay away from his son who is trying to kill him, they are full of confidence and trust in the Lord. And the wonderful thing about these psalms is this. They're not simply David's prayer journal. He's writing to encourage and teach the people of Israel. The trust in the Lord he shows, the trust in the Lord he shows us, it points us forward to the greater David who comes, who establishes his throne forever. He shows us, in part, the character of our Lord, because the Psalms ultimately are his Psalms. They tell the story of his life and his faith and his suffering. So this evening, we're going to read two psalms. We're going to read them back to back, and we're going to take something from each of them. We're going to read Psalms 3 and 4. They are Psalms of David. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need to change. Not because such change will make us acceptable to you, not because it will earn your love or earn our forgiveness, but because you have already loved us. You have already redeemed and forgiven us if our faith is in Jesus Christ. You have already declared us to be a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. So help us to become in our lives day by day what you have already made us. New creatures, inhabited by the Holy Spirit, being renewed after the image of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Help us to leave this series, leave this service tonight with a sense, even just a small sense, of not only what we need to leave behind, but of where we are headed, of who we are to be, of who you are making us to be. Help us in our lives to live them by faith and with trust in you. Never to think that we can leave behind the change we have considered these past weeks, that now it is behind us. But to recognize that our life, the Christian life, is a life of change because it is a life of repentance and faith. So open your word to us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Briefly, from these two psalms, there are six things. I'm sure there are more, but six things we're going to look at that are important in a life of trust, important in a life embracing godly change. Notice several things about David here. The first is that he doesn't run away from God. He doesn't run away from God. Look again at the first two verses of Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Remember the situation that David is in. He's on the run and hiding out with only a small band of some of his most loyal soldiers because his son, his own son, is trying to dethrone him, is trying to kill him. It's easily one of the darkest times in David's life. And in times like that, it's easy to blame God and become bitter when things aren't going the way we want them to. Even other people are saying to him, look at the nothing that your God has done for you. Even he will have nothing to do with you. There is no salvation for you in God. So David's first words in the psalm are to call out to God. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. He calls out to the Lord in his distress. He's honest about his troubles, the many who pursue him, how downcast his soul is, but he calls out for help. When it's easy to run away from God, when it's easy to blame him, or when it's easy to see him as having no hand in what is happening to us. To see him as the problem that needs to be solved. He doesn't run away from God. Second, he reminds himself of his identity as God's child. Look again at verses 3 and 4. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. David reminds himself that God is his protection, his glory, and his sustainer. He is his child. David reminds himself that when he calls out to the Lord will hear because he's done it before. He has learned over time that God hears him when he prays. He hears him when he calls out to him because God listens to his children. When Katie and I became foster parents, there is a huge amount of training that foster parents have to go through over time. And I don't remember which class it was, but there was one where they talked about this phenomenon that they've noticed in some newer foster parents, especially those who are taking in young babies, is that many will get babies into their homes. Babies never cry. They don't cry at night. They don't cry during the day. They just don't cry. And newer foster parents will say, "He's such a good baby. He never cries. He's just content and quiet all the time." And part of what happened that night in that training is that they wanted us to see that actually, you know, it's not a good thing when children never cry out for their parents. What that actually means is that that child has learned over the months or whatever it is of its young life that when it cries out, no one will answer. When it cries out, no one will give them what they need. What they've learned is that calling out is pointless. When a child cries when it needs something, that's good. It means that it's learned that their caregivers will respond. David reminds himself of who he is as God's child, and he reminds himself that when he's cried out to God before, God has answered. He's heard and he's listened, which means I need to do it again now because I've learned that God's listened. That's what David does here. He knows who he is because of what God has already done for him, and he reminds himself of that truth, and so he comes back to God again. He doesn't run away from God. He reminds himself of his identity as God's child. Third, he examines his own heart. Look over in Psalm 4 and at verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Here's the thing, is that in difficulty, often we blame God, or if not that, we rehearse the ways that others have wronged us. And David says, what I'll do is I will lie on my bed, and I will ponder my own thoughts, and I will ponder my own anger. Because in our most difficult moments, our hearts are exposed. What we really want, what we really think, what we really believe about God and about others and about ourselves. But in his moment, David isn't eager to justify himself. He's eager to examine himself, to look at his own heart, to see what needs confessing in his own mind. He's ready to look at himself first. Even before he looks at the deeds and words of his son who's trying to kill him, he looks at his own heart first. Doesn't run away from God. He reminds himself of his identity as a child of God. He examines his own heart, and he worships. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Offer right sacrifices. Give what the Lord has requested. Now, we live as people on the other side of the coming of Jesus, right? When David says offer right sacrifices, he's talking about bringing his tithe, and he's talking about offering bulls, lambs, whatever it is on the given occasion. Now, that's not what we offer, but a sacrifice of praise, our bodies, thanksgiving, prayer, song. These are all sacrifices that the Lord says he desires in the New Testament for his people. Even though we don't offer the blood of lambs or goats, even though we stand under the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lord desires worship. And even as David struggles with the trials of his life, he calls on the people to worship the Lord. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Fifth, he ministers. This is the one that maybe amazes me the most. Also in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, there are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. David's men lose hope. Those near him say, where is there anything good? Where can we see anything praiseworthy, anything that would show us the presence of God in this world? But David, where I'm facing something life-changing like David is, and others are losing hope and are becoming Eeyores around me, where I might become incensed or annoyed, David doesn't do that. What he does, he prays for them. Remind them of the joy of seeing you work. Give them the joy that I know in my heart is greater joy knowing you than even they have when there is wine and grain to spare. As everyone else around him loses hope, David wants to encourage and wants to pray for them. And last, he rests. And it's interesting to me that he mentions this in both the Psalms. Psalm 3, verse 5, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. And in Psalm 4, verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And this is one of the things that I think we simply don't realize, don't think of much. Sleep is one of the greatest acts of faith there is. It is a godly thing to sleep. When we worry, we don't sleep because we're trying to figure everything out or because we're scheming a response, our next move. In both Psalms, David says, in spite of everything that is happening to him, he sleeps because God watches over him. If I die, I die because it's God's will. If I awake, it's because God sustains me, so I rest. And here we have not an exhaustive picture, but a good one, a true one, of what a life of trust looks like. Someone who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust him, don't run away from him. Have confidence in our identity as sons and daughters of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Given to self-examination, to worship, to ministry, and to rest. It's a wonderful picture of a life of trust. Where we have a few of these things, or at least have them incompletely, let this give us a little bit of a picture of what it is that we ought to change towards. Let's pray.